Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So I've got a nice shift and interesting topic to dig into today with you, and I think you're really going to like it. And you being, who are you, my listeners? Well, there are a lot of you, and you are, thankfully, a lot of different types of listeners. Who are you? You've wondered, maybe. You are retirees. You are business owners. You are employees of companies. You are people in transition, maybe looking for new opportunities. And maybe you are people who are baby boomers who are getting close to retirement. And you think about the next chapter in your life. You come in all size and shapes and different backgrounds and things that you're about and why you listen to this program. And I appreciate you doing that. And I am going to speak to some of you today that you may find this more relevant to you, but a lot of you will find it relevant and interesting nonetheless. And so why all the setup? Well, here's why. I've got a very special guest on hold. He's ready to come on the program. And we're going to be talking today about the opportunities for this impact, this baby boomer retirement effect. 10,000 baby boomers are retiring every day for the next 18, 19 years. They are turning 65. What will they do? A lot of them want to remain active. They might want to be an advisor to a business. And then also that shift creates other opportunities for people to take advantage of those more senior seasoned people to help them. So to tie all that together, and it's a fascinating subject, I have Mark Pfister on the line with me. He's CEO of Integral Board Group, and he's also has his own strategy group and the website Integral BG Board Group. So Integral Board Group, integralbg.com is a website. Mark, welcome to the program.
David, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
It's my pleasure, and I wanted to go and set all that up for everybody so they know why you're here and why I'm excited and already smiling about this opportunity to be able to talk with you, because I think what you're doing is just simply fascinating. I am a sucker for connecting dots, and I think it's so cool that you have connected these things together and are working in this area. Because, you know, there's just no ignoring the impact that baby boomers are going to will continue to have on our country and our economy.
Oh, that's great. And I tell you, I'm such a proponent for tracking of trends, specifically where they affect the markets across a broad swath of the market, not just in one particular area. And this trend that we've started into with this retirement of the baby boomers, just so much detail to talk around with that, as well as the succession planning that comes from that.
Well, we've got about 6 hours, so, you know, take your... it is a lot to cover, and, you know, let's drill down. Tell us first, you know, so our listeners understand where you're coming from, because your insight's going to be very helpful to the subject, but I think it's good for you to share a little bit about where you're coming from with your perspective on this. So share a little bit about what you're doing and what you're seeing that is some of these trends.
Sure. Well, my background is very conducive to tracking of these trends and understanding what's happening across the markets, especially when it comes to leadership and also clout in organizations ranging from small business all the way to large public companies. I'm currently the chairman and CEO of Integral Board Group. It's a service that we've started, which is a fully built and for-hire board of directors. And it's servicing the need that we see of putting together a board directly day one, and a company can leverage directly into that group without having to build their own group of individual advisors and eventually working their way to a board. So it's a fairly new concept, but the response to it has been quite great. And I'm also the CEO of Pfister Strategy Group. It's an executive management firm. We serve as a strategic advisory council for executives, as well as boards in the private and public sectors. And I'm also a frequent speaker and lecturer on topics including effective leadership, board strategy, professional project management, and entrepreneurialism.
Excellent. Well, we certainly value and appreciate your time today Mark. It's an interesting trend, and it's very dynamic. But I love, again, like I said, that you connected these dots together. So let's speak to a couple audiences out there. We'll start with the obvious, the first one, which is that business owner who, I know it's a cliche that's been used, but they want to take their business to the next level. Maybe they're a startup, maybe they're a developing business, maybe they're a more mature business, and they need, they realize they need, or they would like to have that expertise, that sounding board, that all the things that an advisory board or board of directors can offer them, help them. I guess let's talk a little bit about how they can go about doing that and what this allows them to do. Because, you know, if you've got a sole, somebody who owns their company, you know, they quote unquote don't answer to a board, maybe their spouse, but they don't answer to a board. So let's talk about some of the advantages that come with that and how they might go about doing it.
Sure. So, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is that many times business owners or partners in a business, they feel that when you hear the term of board or board of directors or a board of advisors, they feel that typically that is reserved for large public organizations.
Yes.
And I can tell you quite frankly that even in my businesses, setting up that board very early, in some cases even at stage one of starting a business, it has been absolutely the key to our speed of growth, the level of connections and contacts that we've built. I just view it as one of the early steps a business can take to improve their chances of success. I also think that it's never too late to engage a board of advisors or a board of directors. Now, it is dependent on having the right people, of course, but I think it's an area that is frequently overlooked as an outlet to bring clout into a business and, quite frankly, to hold the cost lower in an organization. So for businesses that are either in a stage where they are struggling, let's say they're in a stage where they are growing and they need to spend a little more effort on strategy, I think that growing their board of directors, or in this case, a board of advisors as well, is a really important thing to do.
Excellent. Well, and I, again, conveniently, being a business owner, I can provide, you know, my own anecdotes that my listeners hopefully appreciate. And that is, you know, being a business owner and not having, you know, that board or that resource, you know, you sometimes feel like, I mean, you can talk to your staff and you can talk to other senior people within your organization, but, you know, you don't have that resource. You feel like you're a little bit of an island unto yourself.
That's right. And most business owners I speak to that are in that small or mid-sized business range, they do always feel like they're in that go-it-alone phase where it's only them and they're responsible for all their decisions. We all know that nobody's an expert across every single area that a business requires. And that's why, again, I'm a fan of building these groups that have this expertise and drill down expertise and experience in each one of these members, the board members or board advisor members. Something to remember, too, you know, you mentioned earlier about a business owner having to report into a board. I can tell you that I see the function of a board more as a support mechanism than a this is, of course, an aspect of governance in any board. But I don't view that strictly as governance only relating to how and what the CEO or the business owner is doing. I think that that function of governance is a responsibility across the organization, not just all laser focused on the CEO of the business.
That's
again,
a good point.
I think it's a support mechanism mainly, especially in a small to mid-sized business, greater than anything else.
No, that's very good. That's very good, Mark. Because it really is that advisory support capacity or component. How many typically would you see as members of that board, that advisory board, that a business owner would be able to, as you said, leverage and access their expertise? How big is that board? Does it vary by the size of the organization, or is it pretty much a similar thing?
It's a good question, and I'll explain quickly how we built this team and the size of it. So, to directly answer your question, we are a core team of eight, and those eight areas are what we view, and really it spans across 10 expertise areas. It's what we view as the expertise needed for any stage of growth of a business. So that's, of course, going to include some of the standard areas of expertise, such as HR and technology and those pieces, legal, of course. But we have added on our team expertise that is not typical of what you'd see across most boards. As an example, I can tell you we have an expert that's in the construction field on our team. Hmm. I actually think that's hugely important for a business, whatever of the seven growth phases they're in, they typically will have to make a decision on whether they rent, buy, build, whatever it may be, the space that they need. If it's a technology company, do they make a decision on building out their own data center, or do they go to lease a colo facility where most of the maintenance is taken care of for them? I think it's hugely important to look at what the expertise areas are that are needed, not just within your business, but across any specific growth phase that you see your business going through.
That's excellent. I think it's excellent, the approach, and I can see just so much leverage for a business to be able to do this. If you're just joining us, Mark Pfister is our guest, CEO of Integral Board Group, and we're talking about the ability for business owners to leverage an outside advisory board that they can have be, well, that board of directors as a resource, as Mark's described it. IntegralBG.com. IntegralBG.com is the website. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Mark and talk about some of the opportunities for the baby boomers as part of this program. So stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. Mark Pfister's on the line with me, CEO of Integral Board Group, integralbg.com. Lots of information on that website. You can go in and get a more detailed explanation than we can cover in a 30-minute show, because we do not have that 6 hours that I joke with Mark about at the beginning of the program. You know, the flip side of this, Mark, I would love to get into is about, you know, the impact of the baby boomers on all this. How does that play into all of, you know, this board capacity?
Sure. Well, there's a few interesting trends out there, and I always try to look on the bright side of those trends, because I think there's always opportunity, especially for small and mid-sized business owners. So I should say for individuals as well. So I see three distinct opportunities. For baby boomers specifically, I view there being a significant amount of opportunity for those that have not created a career or sat on boards before. I do believe that their experience and expertise is going to be greatly sought after over the next 5 or 10 years as you start to see this retirement effect take place. The leading edge of baby boomers started their retirement in 2011. Some of that trend was, I'll say, delayed somewhat as the market was still in its recovery mode.
Sure.
But I do view this bottleneck now that's kind of opened with the markets back to allow both the baby boomers that would have retired starting in 2011 until now, that is going to start to happen in tandem with the people that would normally be starting to retire around this time. So I do think that particular vacuum will create opportunities for the seasoned veterans in business, such as the baby boomers of that age, to create opportunities for them for these senior leadership spots. I also see from a consulting standpoint, and I speak directly now to business owners, both small and mid-sized, or really even from a sole consulting aspect, that as this expertise and clout starts to leave these business organizations, and again, of all sizes, ranging from startup to large public companies, these companies are going to start to look for the expertise. And in many cases, the only way they're going to be able to get that expertise is through some sort of consulting or advisory channel. So I think it would be very much in the interest of companies that are viewed as advisors or consultants to start to ramp up and market directly towards these areas where we see these gaps that are going to start to happen very shortly. I think that's going to be a huge opportunity, especially in the areas of projects and consulting that require strategy, and not just a short-term implementation, but a long-term strategy across an organization.
Very interesting. There's going to be a real brain drain. That's what's coming, right?
There is, and it's interesting, too, to throw into the mix that these styles of the upcoming generation, such as Generation X, their style is slightly different in terms of how business is done. So the longer-term relationships that you've seen with the baby boomers, it's a much different approach with Generation X. You could say the same for Generation Y, as well as, I guess, what they're calling now the Generation Z or Millennials. but it's really going to be an interesting mix. David, one last thing to add for those three distinct opportunities. I do also see a huge opportunity here for those folks that are in Generation X, possibly even Generation Y, to start to ramp up, if they are interested in board and senior leadership positions, to start to ramp themselves up now everything from certifications to education, getting themselves into senior leadership type positions, because I think that there will be significant amounts of opportunity for board positions over the next decade. And I think it's going to come down to both the training and the experience that'll make them sought after for those positions.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting as you describe these opportunities, and you talked about some of those opportunities presenting themselves to baby boomers. It jogged something I had seen not long ago here, and I'm seeing an uptick of more training and coaching opportunities for some of these more seasoned that they're being reached out to help train and help people along, because there is going to be this hole. And as you know, as that baby boomer retires, maybe they sit on a board and they move along to do something. They decided to play more golf than sit on boards. There's just going to be this there's so many aspects to this vacuum that could be created that is going to create a demand for, as you describe, people that are experienced and educated and credentialed and skilled in these areas where there's going to be a demand.
I think that's right. And I also believe that there are possibly new industries as well as changes to some of the current roles. You mentioned about somewhat of an extensive executive coaching. I've seen a huge uptick in that in recent years also. And I think that'll start to morph as we go along also. There may even be more of a consulting view to how these boards operate, even on their committees. I think there's a huge opening here for companies that are progressive in their thinking and can come up with ideas of how to support these companies in their time of need.
Well, and speaking, perfect segue, Mark, time of need. We were talking about baby boomers. Let's talk about the baby boomer business owner. Don't say that 10 times fast. And their need to prepare themselves, let's say they're, 58 or whatever, and to prepare themselves and their business for a successful succession plan. Does having this advisory board, can that be part of that process? Is that something that should be done, prior to that, or to help transition through that? How does that fit in?
Sure, and you're absolutely correct. And succession planning is one of the follow-on topics that directly relates to the baby boomer retirement effect. And there are many business owners, small, medium, large companies, that are in this realm of having the question, what do I do? I want to retire. Do I turn my business over to a family member, a son, a daughter, an in-law? There are many questions, and I've done a considerable amount of consulting in the last 2 years with these questions coming up. What's incredible with this is that in many cases, the business owner is extremely worried about their legacy of the business, which rightfully so, they've built some of these companies over the past 30, 40-something years. And what do they do now, even if they do have a dilemma in knowing that the next of kin or the family member, they don't really view as being able to handle that business successfully? And the stats actually prove that. It's still the same numbers for the last two decades. 70% of second-generation businesses fail,
wow.
And that number goes up to 85% failure rate by third generation. So it is a considerable weight on the shoulders of these business owners of what to do.
So
and the questions are coming out.
Yeah, and so for that business owner who is looking at this, there's obviously the getting this kind of advisory board in place will help them prepare for this transition. And then, obviously, if that board is there, and the next that next generation comes in, they also can help with being part of that transition, that they already are familiar with the business and can continue to help provide that ongoing advice.
That's correct, and it is one of our core and key offering areas, which is in the succession planning space. And we do view it as if we can get in early enough with the group we're working with. We can be there through what I view as the three phases of that transition. So pre-transition, of course, that allows for all the members, both the group that's going to take over or the single person that's going to take over, the person that's working their way out of the organization. You get then into the transition phase. That transition phase is hugely important to have the availability of both the new as well as the old involved. And then, of course, as you mentioned, it is our goal to actually stay for the longer term if these companies do request it, to support them. We now have the history of the past. We know where they're going. We were there throughout the transition. And typically a new business owner feels quite comfortable knowing they have this team around them, and they do truly have a board of advisors that's been there through the transition. So it's an extremely powerful approach, and it's something that I would say honestly that has garnered the most response to our business model.
That's excellent, Mark. I think it's just, boy, you're in the right spot, and you are right on the money with this. Mark Pfister, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's CEO of Integral Board Group, and the website is integralbg.com. Take a quick break, and we'll come back with Mark. Stay right there.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Pfister's on the line with me, CEO of Integral Board Group, integralbg.com. And I've got two questions I would be very remiss to ask you if I didn't ask you, Mark, and because my listeners that have been out there listening to us talk back and forth and understanding this these opportunities and the value of having that advisory board. Number one, how big does a company need to be for it to make sense? I mean, you know, if is it the, you know, small to medium? Define that for our listeners. When does it make sense? Who really benefits from something like this?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you that I'm a firm believer that a business of any size, if they don't currently have that team around them, they should get that team around them, meaning a board or an advisory board. We have not catered specifically to one business size or even one market for that matter. So if it's a large or even a mid-sized privately held business, we're a perfect match for those particular companies. But I will say also that, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a huge fan of even startup or seed-type businesses having this expertise around them. So we've come up with different models of how to engage with the clients that we deal with or the companies we deal with in such a way where we're not putting a financial burden on those companies.
Well, and that was going to be my second question, so very good.
Yeah. So you know, for companies where they are already established, maybe they're a small or mid-sized business, we have an interesting model of how we engage with them. And I want to keep coming back to this term of performance-based. I'm a huge fan of performance-based compensation due to the fact that that, to me, is what creates this bond and this tie between both the group that's working for the customer or the client or the company, as well as vice versa from the company back to us working with them. So the typical model of where we fall is in a drastically reduced cash outlay or a fee with a commensurate amount of profit sharing. So notice how I said profit sharing and not equity. David, the reason for that, again, is that we want to be based and compensated off of performance. So we typically will baseline a company at their current EBITDA. We will not ask for profit sharing of what they already built. We are interested in profit sharing of what we're going to help them build above and beyond where they're at today. Now, for a startup business, we also understand that most startup businesses have very little cash, and we don't want to eliminate the possibility of a board joining a company such as a startup business. So in the companies that we evaluate, if we see them as having good potential, it's in an area where we feel we can be successful with them, we will engage with them in solely a profit-sharing model. Hmm. That eliminates that fear of owing money, going into debt day one, even, quite frankly, of making the decision to go the route of private equity or venture capital first, where they give up equity in their business to get capital, and then realize maybe a year or two in that they could have grown this organically themselves, but now they're locked in and they don't even have the controlling voting power in their business anymore. We're trying to show these businesses that there is another option, that they can surround themselves with truly an incredible team and a team that has the experience as well as the connections to grow their business without them having to give away their business day one. So that's an extremely powerful model for startup companies that does not put them into this huge decision day one for them to give up a portion of their business. it's way too early for a company to make that decision to say we're going to give up equity before we've even started running.
That's a really good point, because that is what a lot of business owners face, that decision and how to time that. Excellent, excellent stuff, Mark. I really appreciate you being with us on the program. Mark Pfister, ladies and gentlemen, CEO of Integral Board Group, integralbg.com. Lots of good information there. Mark, listen, we'll have you back another time. I appreciate your time, and it's an excellent, excellent thing that you're doing, and I really am enamored with the whole concept. So thanks again for being on the program.
David, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.